Oh, praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here tonight. Amen. And praise the Lord. I just was thinking as Brother Samuel was talking here, you know, in spite of everything this year, I don't know that we had to cancel any church services. I know we had about three of them at my house. I know we had one at Samuel's house. I know there's been times there was a minimal amount of people here and all, but praise the Lord has helped us. The Lord has been with us, and oh my, as we finish this year, I mean, here we stand, and God has kept us. The blessings still are falling, and our God is still the same. Amen. He is the solid rock, and we can stand on His promises. And we can believe in our God. Amen. Amen. You know, I just can't help it. Brother Don, I don't know if you're listening or not, but I know we sang that song, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." And for some reason, I just felt like Judy was joining us in the heavens. Tell you what, I guess maybe not everybody doesn't know, but my dear sister from Texas went on to be with the Lord November 1st, and she's missed, praise the Lord. But oh my, what a blessing to be with God, amen, to be in His presence, to have the battles of this life over, and oh yes, to know that all is well, praise the Lord. Our wonderful God, oh praise the Lord. It just seemed like that was her song somehow. I just couldn't help but think of it, Brother Don. I don't know, but oh my, I know there is a company, oh yes, that joins us. There's angels surrounding us, and oh, who's to know how the people of the Lord congregate also. I don't know, but praise the Lord, I know we are in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, He has seen us through. Here we are, here we stand, and we are so privileged to know our God. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, praise our God. We're going to begin our service here, our Bible study with prayer. Oh, praise our God. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again, oh Lord, for, oh Lord, this opportunity. We thank You for this little church, Lord. We thank You for the people, Lord, oh God, that gather here, Lord. And oh God, our wonderful online group, oh Lord, that gathers with us also, Lord. And oh God, we're so thankful, oh Lord, that, oh Lord, we have Thy promise that Thou art with us. And oh Lord, You are here in our midst, oh Lord. Oh, You are here to help us. You who know every need and every situation, every problem, every pain, oh Lord, every struggle, God, You are here to lift us up. Oh God, You are here to put us in heavenly places, Lord. Oh God, You are here to make Yourself known, Lord. And I just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that You work tonight. I pray, oh God, that You'd move here tonight. I pray, oh God, You would be with Your people, Lord. You know, again, every burden, every struggle, every care, oh Lord, every pain, oh God, every sickness, oh Lord, Thou knowest, and oh God, Thou seest, and oh God, we believe it is in Thy hands, Lord. And I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that You give us understanding as we study Your word tonight. Oh God, make it real to our hearts, Lord. Talk to our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus. Let the devil be bound in all his thinking, all his devices, every hindrance. Oh God, we give all of this over to You, Lord. And we ask that You would move, Lord, that You'd set the captive free and bring deliverance to them that are bound. Oh Lord, oh God, that You'd bring forth this word. Oh God, according to Thy directive. Oh Lord, according to Thy will, Lord. Oh God, that it would accomplish that which You please, Lord Jesus. Oh God, work in our hearts. Oh God, I know I can do nothing without You, Lord. I ask, oh Lord, that You'd use me here tonight, Lord. Oh God, that You'd use this word and don't let it go. Oh, as You would ordain it to go, Lord. Oh God, let it flow like You would have it to flow, Lord. Oh, we need You, Jesus. And I just pray that You would move in a mighty way, Lord. Oh God, be with Your people, Lord Jesus. And oh God, I just pray, oh God, oh Lord, lift us up, put us into heavenly places. God, I pray, oh God, that you just continue to be with Mackenzie, Lord, and deliver her, set her free, Lord, and all those that are struggling, God, for you know every detail, far and near, Lord. You see every situation, Lord. And I pray that you would work in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Draw us close to thee. Oh God, we're getting closer to heaven, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that our lives would grow in thee, Lord. Oh God, that you make us, oh Lord, fit to be in thy kingdom, Lord, to be thy children, Lord, to live with thee for all eternity. I pray that you'd work, oh Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, help the struggling ones. Oh God, help those, oh God, who are going all through great struggles, have heavy burdens. Oh God, have perhaps not really known you, Lord. But I pray that you work here tonight in the name of Jesus. Help your people move, Lord Jesus. Help us, God. Oh, God, continue to help Wild, Lord. I pray that she could lift her arm again, Lord. We just come against, oh, Lord, what had happened, that injury and everything else, God. I pray that you'd help her. Oh, God, that you'd move in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, you know all these things, and we bring it before you in Jesus' precious, mighty name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise our God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, we're going to open up the scripture. And, oh my, I'm going to call this message. It's after Proverbs. The 21st chapter in verse 30. And that verse says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Oh, if we could just realize what a mighty God we serve. Oh, how amazing he is and how precious it is to be able to give everything over to him. I mean, honestly, how could we be in better hands? The mighty one, oh yes, that inhabits eternity, that gave us life, and oh yes, that gave us salvation. Praise our God. Oh yes, and that hope of eternal life. And praise the Lord, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he is a solid rock. He doesn't change. He doesn't move. He doesn't wiggle. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise our God. Amen. We're going to go into the book of Acts. Acts, the fifth chapter here tonight. And I find this chapter to be very inspiring. I hope you will too. Praise our God. Oh, like I said, you know, the things that God did in the times of old, he can still do today. Amen. He hasn't changed. And my, let's just see. We're going back to very early days in the early church. Oh, yes, when this second covenant was pretty new. Amen. But oh my, here's an event here. Right away in the book of Acts, chapter 5. Amen. Praise our God. Praise our Lord Jesus. It tells us in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And we'll just, you know, if we glance at the fourth chapter and what happened right before this event here, we know that there was certainly a tremendous move in that early church. And oh my, there had been already great things. There already had been great deliverances and all. And we know that as God moves, the devil also often puts forth his hand. And already the church of the living God had been threatened. And they had been told that they were not to speak or teach in the name of the Lord Jesus. But praise the Lord, I know Peter and John had answered in verse 19 of Acts 4, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so then, as they were before that Sanhedrin court, it tells us in verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. There was that amazing healing there. Oh, yes, the beautiful gate. Gate beautiful, that is, there before the temple. And, oh, yes, he had been healed, even though he had been lame from his mother's womb. Oh, yes, he was walking after, oh, yes, the name of the Lord Jesus was applied. Amen. So, yes, the church had been threatened after this. The Jewish leadership did not like it by any means. But what did the people do? Oh, they all went back. They reported the matter. These are the disciples that went back and reported the matter. And the congregation, the individuals all lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, verse 24 here in Acts 4, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. In verse 29, I love this. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And praise the Lord heard that prayer. It tells us in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And they had, oh, yes, because there was such a move of the Spirit of God. And, oh, they had this faith. They had such boldness in spite of the threatenings. I wonder how many people would pray for boldness after they had been told to avoid, to shun, to not use the saving name of the Lord Jesus. But, oh, my, I love how this early church went forward and prayed for boldness and asked for signs and wonders to follow. Amen. And oh yes, because they were those of them that believed, in verse 32, they were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them of aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Hoses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, so this was going on. I believe the people were so full of the Holy Ghost that, you know, the things of the world had lost their hold in their lives. And yes, because their hearts were so together, they were so one-minded. Their cause was seeking the kingdom of God first and all his righteousness, knowing that all things would be added unto them. Because they had that mindset, they gave of their own and put it together, and the needs were all taken, oh yes, or were all given. they were all taken care of, is what I'm trying to say here. But praise the Lord worked mightily in honoring that. And we read of the great power that he gave the apostles, witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and that great grace that was upon them. But in the midst of this, we have the fifth chapter, and we have a couple here that also sold a possession. And I know it doesn't tell us every detail. Obviously, they sold it, and they had decided together that they were going to keep back a certain portion of it. And, you know, that was permissible. You know, it was in their heart. What they wanted to give. God loveth a cheerful giver. He doesn't, you know, he wants us to give it from our heart and in what we feel we can give. You know, he just doesn't, you know, make us, you know, do it even if we don't want to or more than we want to or any of that sort of thing. But in this case, they made an agreement between them and yes, they kept back part of the price, but obviously when they gave the gift, which they laid at the apostles' feet, they made it sound like that was the entirety of what they had sold, and it wasn't the truth. So this is what is happening here in this fifth chapter of the book of Acts. It says again, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And we see right away that Peter has discernment here. It has to be an act of God that he knew exactly what had gone on between Ananias and Sapphira. So here in verse 3 it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. See, obviously, they made it sound like they had given, you know, the full price, and that wasn't the case. They had held back a certain portion of it. Well, God judge this situation here. It says in verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And of course, you know, he didn't wait too long to bury people back in that time, obviously. Tells us in verse 6, and the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. Verse 7 tells us, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whither you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. So here we see that she lied likewise. And again, you know, we're all individuals. We all are going to stand before God as individuals. And there may be a time when we have to, you know, we can't, you know, do something that's opposing to the will of God, or is devious, or are just plain wrong, even though, you know, our spouse might, you know, make such a determination. But they had both agreed together in this case, and she obviously went along with it. And here when Peter asked her about the amount, she said, yay, for so much. So it goes on to tell us in verse 9, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. We see that God has quickly judged these lies. Oh my, you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And when leaven comes into the church, it's polluted. And obviously here at the outset of the church, God did not want it to become polluted. And we see how he very swiftly judged this circumstance. But it's quite amazing. We're going to see what follows this judgment. Verse 11 tells us, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. So, oh my, it's quite a story already, but oh, we know that there can be real strength in a healthy fear of God. It's absolutely essential. We do know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it tells us in Psalms 111, verse 10. Oh, it goes on to say in that verse, in Psalms 111, verse 10, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Proverbs 1, verse 7 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so, yes, as part of this judgment, we see that fear, a great fear, it tells us in verse 11, came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You can believe that this news traveled very quickly. It obviously was soon spread abroad, this judgment that God wrought. Oh yes, to reveal this hypocrisy, this lie, this thing that these individuals try to hide. Oh my, it's not a wise thing to try to hide from God. Oh, we know, yes, as it tells us in Galatians, the 6th chapter, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And yes, it tells us he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. And it tells us in verse 9 here in Galatians 6, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Oh my, it's an amazing thing. Oh yes, God expects, oh yes, his people, oh yes, to be straightforward, oh yes, and not to let deception enter in by any means. We know that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, as it tells us in Jeremiah 17. And that question is asked there in that 9th verse in Jeremiah 17. Who can know it? Oh yes, we all have this, you know, this tendency. But praise the Lord, we can give our hearts to the Lord and let him work in our hearts. Let him change our hearts. Oh yes, because as it tells us in Jeremiah 17 verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh my, there is no hiding from God. Oh, he sees it. And oh my, even though people might think that their ways are hid, oh yes, as That also mentions in Isaiah 40, verse 27, people, thinking that they could hide from God, that they would, God would ignore their sins. But oh my, that is not wisdom by any means. Oh, to try to conceal things from Almighty God who knows it all. But oh yes, because of this happenstance here in Acts the 5th chapter, the Lord began to move. At first, yes, there was judgment. But we're going to see as we read these next verses that God wrought revival after this judgment. And this is pretty amazing. So yes, as it tells us in verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. In verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Oh, yes, so the Lord is going to use this. And we see we have this wonderful unity among them. And I think this is another reason that God wasn't going to allow this, discrepancy to enter in, this leaven to come into the church. He was moving. It was his desire to move mightily among them. And to have this creep in would have hindered very greatly the work of God. But instead it was judged, and great fear came upon all the church, and as many as heard this. And again, revival fires begin to fall. Many signs and wonders were wrought among the people by the hands of the apostles. And yes, it mentions in verse 12 that they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. As they gathered, perhaps that was a place there in the temple area that they gathered to pray and to worship. Verse 13 tells us, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. In other words, what that verse is telling us, that those that were without weren't going to come in and pretend that they were Christians. This cleaned out the hypocrisy, the pretenders, and it says of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. But yet there was a great magnification, a great glorifying the works of God through all of this. And yes, it began to grow. And again, it isn't that souls weren't going to be added, because, oh my, we're seeing revival falling. Verse 15 tells us, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Oh, yes, they were so full of the Holy Ghost that, oh, yes, they were believing that even if they could just get close enough to Peter, oh, as he walked by, that the Holy Ghost that was upon him would touch their loved one, would touch the sick and heal them. And, oh, my, I believe they were seeing great things coming forth. Oh, the Holy Ghost was moving. There was a great revival. Yes, and oh yes, it tells us in verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. So there was a great move of the Holy Ghost, not only souls being saved, but all people being healed of their diseases. Amen. The Lord working in a mighty way. And yeah, they didn't dare pretend, as yes, we read there in that 13th verse. In fact, oh yes, this revival was so amazing that it began to spread beyond Jerusalem. Verse 16 tells us, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, And they were healed, every one. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a casting out of devils. And there's a healing of all these sick folks that were brought unto them. Oh, and from round and about all the cities that surrounded Jerusalem. It says a multitude. There's a great deal of activity, a great deal of people that are hearing and reaching out, believing God and seeing wonderful works of God. Oh yes, we had judgment. Now we have revival, and then we see there's a reaction amongst those that do not fear God. They might think they do, but they surely don't. It's the religious people here who are reacting as we read verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Oh, they're very troubled, disturbed, upset over this that is happening. And it tells us that obviously that Sanhedrin court, the high priest and all, were of the sect of the Sadducees. So that tells us they didn't believe in the resurrection. Just, include that here. And oh my, they're going to react. It tells us in verse 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But praise the Lord, God delivers. God sets free. Verse 19 tells us, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Okay, so they put the apostles in prison, in the common prison, but oh my, God wasn't going to stand for it. He had his angel come by night, open the prison doors, snap them open, bring them out. Amen. And they were told, yes, that they needed to go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Amen. So yes, that's what they did. Verse 21 tells us, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. So now you have the high priest and all the others, the Sanhedrin court, all of them, the council, the senate, all gather there together, and they're going to confer together and figure out what to do with these apostles. Oh, we've got to stop this doctrine. We've got to stop the Lord Jesus, is really what they were doing or attempting to do. But oh my, it's not going to work. Praise our God. We serve a mighty God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But so they go to bring the apostles out of the prison. Verse 22 tells us, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found me shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Oh, what a sight that must have been. There were, the keepers standing there and not even aware what had happened, I would say. And everything was shut up like it needed to be. So they thought, and yet the prisoners had escaped. No man within. Oh my, so okay, how did they get out? How did this happen? Verse 24, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted them whereunto this would grow. Oh no, now look what's happened, They wanted to stop the gospel. Oh, the glorious good news. They wanted to stop it before it went any further. But you know what? God is not going to allow that. And oh yes, now they have found, that their attempt to imprison these men and, then to bring them out and decide what to do with them was no longer an option. And then it was told them, there came a runner or whatever to declare what, they saw. Verse 25 said, then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the man whom he put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Oh, praise the Lord. You can't stop God's word. Oh my, God is mighty. And you know, I love how it is. You know how it is in lands beyond this United States. In China, as we're told, how the underground churches thrive. In spite of opposition, in spite of governments trying to regulate and determine what can be said and what cannot be said, God is over all, and God knows how to help his people, and in spite of persecution, he knows how to make the church continue and to grow. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here is one of their attempts, obviously. So now they've gone to the temple, and yes, there they are. Sure enough, there's the apostles. They're standing there teaching the people. Yes. Verse 26 tells us, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Oh my, you know, they were trying their very best to stop what God had wrought. Oh, yes, what the Holy Ghost had brought forth. Oh, yes, oh, that wonderful way that the Lord moves. But, oh, my, who can stop God? And it tells us in verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Oh, I love how straightforward Peter and the others were as they proclaimed the good news of the gospel. Oh, yes, he's right to the point. And yes, he tells them right, you know, at the first, that they ought to obey God rather than men. You know, there is a higher authority that decrees a man. Oh, yes, it's even higher than the Constitution of the United States. Even though I love that Constitution and the Bill of Rights, I'm very thankful for it. But yet God is above all. And here, oh, yes, these men with the authority that they assumed tried to stop the work of God. And they had told the apostles not to teach or preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. But oh my, there are some ordinances that cannot be obeyed. And yes, Peter, oh yes, readily understood this. And he said we ought to obey God rather than men. Yes, and he talked, oh, he told them to their face, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Oh, yes, this wasn't an act of man. Oh, no, this was because God authorized it. And yes, raised up Jesus, whom they had slain, whom they had slew and hanged on a tree. Yes, they had done that. But, oh, praise the Lord, how can you stop God? Oh, my, no, Jesus rose from that grave. Amen. And there was no authority, no power that could stop it. Amen. And yes, she said, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And praise the Lord, that's why Jesus came, to seek and to save those that were lost. Oh yes, so we could repent of our sins, so we could be forgiven of our sins. Amen. And oh yes, that Jesus, oh, whom they hung on a tree, has been exalted. And oh yes, when he comes forth again, he's going to come forth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh yes, as it tells us in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, it's going to be so obvious when he comes back. No, he's not going to come, you know, as a babe in a manger. Oh, when he returns. No, he's going to come as the great I Am, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, he's going to be highly exalted. And oh, my, every eye is going to see him. And they also which pierced him. Oh, yes, and oh, there's going to be, oh, yes, a great time of mourning. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Oh, yes, what a time, what a moment that's going to be. And here we are. Oh, we are living, I would say, in the most exciting times that have ever been. Now, I'm sure you're not going to hear that everywhere. But oh my, we are living in the expectation of our Savior coming back to this earth. Amen. He's going to come one of these days. He's going to come quickly. Oh yes, and oh, and what a moment that is going to be. Oh yes, as the graves are opened up. And oh yes, all are going to stand before him. Oh yes, as he comes to judge this world in righteousness and to redeem his people. Oh, praise the Lord, we're living, oh yes, on the brink of such an event. Oh yes, that moment when he comes. Oh yes, when we see our God, when we see him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh my, there's going to be no questions. They're all going to know. They're all going to bow the knee. They're all going to have to confess that he is Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. No confusion about that. It's going to be extremely clear. Oh, yes. No doubts whatsoever. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. So he is exalted. And yes, he came to this earth to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Oh, praise the Lord, what a beautiful opportunity it is to bow our knee and to acknowledge our sins, to give our lives to the Lord Jesus. And again, I beseech you, if you have not done this, bow your knee while you have a little time. This is going to be over one of these moments. Amen. The wonderful forgiveness of sins. Oh, how he forgives our sins. And oh, yes, he remits them as we, oh, yes, submit to the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a privilege. And yes, then, oh, yes, that promise of being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. No, Peter is preaching here. He is telling all those Sanhedrin, those Jewish leaders, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Oh yes, it's contingent upon obedience. We obey the word of God. We bow our knee in repentance and surrendering to God. Oh yes, we obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And yes, he fills us then, oh yes, with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, God has given that to his people, to them that obey him. Praise the Lord. Well, Peter has preached this message to these Jewish leaders. Amen. And it tells us their reaction in verse 33 here in Acts 5. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And this is amazing how this all comes forth. Oh yes, we've got these extremely angry individuals here, the Sanhedrin court. I mean, they are angry. It says they are cut to the heart. I mean, they are nasty and they are mean, and their hearts are fixed upon slaying these apostles. But I love how God intervened. And this is how it happened. There stood up one in the council. There was one among them. Oh, that was going to defend them. And this is amazing how the Lord makes a way, how he knows how to intervene. I mean, sometimes, the cards, as they say, get pretty stacked against people, so it seems. But oh my, we serve a God who knows how to overturn all the tactics of the enemy. Amen. He knows how to bring deliverance to his people, how to set them free. And it might not be the way we think or anticipate. But how it is here in this fifth chapter of the book of Acts. Yes, there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So obviously he had the apostles leave the room. And this Gamaliel, we hear of him in Acts the 22nd chapter, verse 3, he actually was an instructor of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. It tells us in that 22nd chapter of Acts, as Paul is giving his testimony, that he had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, this doctor of the law. Obviously, he was very well respected. And oh yes, now he's going to speak forth, and he calms this angry Sanhedrin court here, the high priest and all. Verse 35 tells us, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain in all. As many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. In verse 37, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished in all, even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. So here, Gamaliel, God has given him a wisdom, and God is using him right now. He's going to appease this angry group of religious leaders here. And here he is doing it with wisdom, and he brings forth that, you know, it had been this Thutis that had, you know, boasted himself to be somebody, and he had a group of men, about 400, that had joined themselves to him, and you know, they whatever they were intending to do, it wasn't of God. And yes, they were slain, or they were scattered. The whole thing came to nothing. It came to naught. You know, it wasn't a movement of God. It wasn't genuine. And then he gives another example on another man, Judas of Galilee. And it was the time of the taxing, he says. And oh my, he drew a great crowd, you know, after him too. But, you know, it wasn't wrought in God. And yes, it was all dispersed. That big following after Judas of Galilee, you know, it came to nothingness. It was not wrought in God. But oh my, God has given Gamaliel wisdom here. And this is what he tells them. And thank God it appeases the situation. This is what he tells them in verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Oh, what wisdom could be found in those words. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, I thank God that we can be in a kingdom. Oh, a kingdom. Oh, yes, that the devil cannot destroy by any means. Oh, yes, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior that, oh, yes, he put together. And praise the Lord, it is established upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, it's established in such a way that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And oh my, we know, in spite of all the goings on in this world, this kingdom is going to stand. In spite of all the devil's attempts to put it down, to cast it away, to bring it to nothing. No, I thank God for Gamaliel's wisdom here. Yes, what he said in verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Oh, how many people attempt to fight against God. And oh, yes, is our first verse here in the study tonight. You know, Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Amen. You can't fight against God and win. Oh, so many have tried. And we know, yes, as we see these end time scenarios all coming to pass, who really is the enemy? Oh, as they tried to bring about their one world kingdom and establish it, oh my, who is the one that is going to bring it down? Oh, they may be trying, but oh my, we know that there is a God in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar learned about that God in heaven, didn't he? Oh my, he might have thought that he could, you know, put up that great statue and command that all worship that statue. But oh, praise the Lord. The empires of men are all doomed, every single one. Because, oh yes, there was a stone that came from the great mountain, as it tells us in Daniel, that second chapter. And oh yes, Daniel saw in his vision how, oh yes, the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold were broken to pieces. And they became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And that stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, in the days of those kings, oh, God set up a kingdom. Oh, he began to establish his new covenant, his church of the living God. He brought it forth. And it's a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And it's a kingdom that shall not be left to other people. But oh my, it's going to break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And yes, it tells us in Daniel, that second chapter, verse 44, it shall stand forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how we must be in the kingdom of God. Oh my, that kingdom that is from everlasting to everlasting. Oh my, that king that's going to endure, oh, despite all the attempts of men to bring about their one world. And oh yes, their control tactics and what they want to do. Oh yes, to regulate human beings. Oh, we're seeing it. Oh, we've seen all kinds of things. And oh my, this year has been a witness against it. Amen. But we serve a mighty God. And as it tells us in Revelation, the 17th chapter, oh yes, it talks about that kingdom that they're trying to put together, that one world. Oh yes, that the elitists, oh, the illuminists, oh, the big people of this world, the big names, you know, those with the money and the prestige and all of that are trying to do as they try to put the kingdom together. Oh, it tells us here in Revelation 17. Verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Verse 15 here, Revelation 17 tells us, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And verse 17 tells us, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, unto the words of God shall be fulfilled. Oh, it's all coming. Oh, yes. God knows every detail. And, you know, he has it all established. Yes. He has a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And he knows very well what it's going to be. He knows when this is all going to be brought down. And yet, oh, God has allowed it to be in the hearts of these individuals to try to bring forth their one world. Oh, yes, to agree and to give their kingdom unto that beast system. But actually, in reality, it's the fulfillment of God's will, which is such an amazing thing. Oh, yes, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Oh, yes, as Paul preached there on Mars Hill. Oh, yes. And as he said, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Oh, it is that time period. Oh, that door of opportunity to repent is still available. We can still give our hearts, our lives, our minds over to the living God. And I think, oh, there is great wisdom in doing that. Because who can stand against God and prevail? Oh, yes. Gamaliel was used to bring out that very point. He knew that, you know, if the Sanhedrin court tried to fight against God, there was no way they could win against God. I thank God for that wisdom that was given him. God used him for that moment. Amen. But oh my, there is no way you can outsmart God. Oh, it's a glorious kingdom that our God has established. And oh my, it tells us in Psalms 46, oh, this beautiful chapter. Praise the Lord. And oh, it tells us as I read it. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is Psalms 46 again. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Oh, praise the Lord, we've already seen great things. But oh my, there are other things that will yet come forth, perhaps greater things in that way. Oh my, and all we see, oh my, what has come upon the face of the earth. And there is anticipation of more. Yes, but yet, as to the people of God, if God is our refuge, if God is our strength in that very present help in the time of trouble, we don't have to fear. No, in spite of all the things that are appearing and the things that could be and, you know, all the things that we ponder and all the things that even seem apparent. Oh no, God is in the midst of our people. It goes on to tell us in Psalms 46, verse 4, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Oh, praise the Lord for that river. Oh, yes, it says God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, praise the Lord. Two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, he has said, there am I in the midst thereof. God is in the midst of his people. He's in the middle of his people. And we are in a kingdom that shall not be moved. Amen. Oh, yes, he says, God shall help her. And that right early. Oh, praise the Lord. Goes on to describe, oh yes, the raging of the kingdoms. Verse 6 says, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. Oh yes, all of this shaking that's going on. All of the devices of men, all of their attempts to bring about their kingdom. But praise the Lord, our God is going to come. It says, he uttereth his voice. The earth melted. Oh, praise the Lord. That's all it takes. God coming forth. Oh, yes, with his might, with his glory, and all at once. Oh, yes, the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all that is therein is going to be burnt up. That is the simple truth of it. The earth melted, as it tells us in verse 6, so as the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Oh, praise the Lord, as all of this happens, he utters his voice. Oh, praise the Lord, in such a way that all are going to hear him. And the earth melted. Oh, you see this sequence. Oh, the people of God can say, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And oh my, the aftermath, verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. I'll tell you what, he speaks in the world. Oh, it has to obey that voice. The earth has to obey the voice of the Creator. Amen. And oh my, oh, at his voice, all of this, oh, there's going to be end to the turmoil of this world. It's going to be an end to all their wars and all their devices, all their manufacturing, all the things that they are attempting to do. Oh, he's going to snap that bow like that like it was nothing there, that bow, that, you know, like it was nothing. He's going to cut the spear in sunder. I mean, all those weapons of war and everything else is nothing to God. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Verse 10 tells us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, here he comes as King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, what a moment. Oh, praise the Lord. And could it be that we will be alive and remain at the coming of our Savior? Oh, yes. Oh, hear this. Oh, yes. As it all comes to fruition, praise the Lord. Oh, that exaltation among the heathen. Oh, that acknowledging who he is, the greatness of our God, the mighty God that we serve, the powerful one who created the heavens and the earth. And oh, yes, who made us in his image. Praise the Lord. Oh, he is going to be exalted in the earth. And how we can say, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, he is coming again. And oh, yes. We don't know the day nor the hour. But oh my, we know he's coming. Oh, he's going to come quickly and every eye is going to see him. I mean, you know it. It's going to be to the great shock and surprise of so many. But yet we have a few moments to get ready. Oh, yes. Let's go to Psalms 2 as we get ready to close this message here tonight. Oh, yes. Peter used part of this chapter in his sermon there in the book of Acts. But oh, yes, it starts out, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Oh my, I mean, you know, so long ago, you know, the high priest, the Sanhedrin court, all tried to disrupt the plan of God, you know, to command the apostles and the believers not to pray or to teach or to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus, to eliminate that name. Oh, that would have stopped it. But oh, praise the Lord, thank God. Oh, yes, they weren't going to go along with that kind of decree. No, that wasn't in their heart. Oh, they knew it was, you know, a God who needed to be feared above all else. And there are some things that we cannot bow our knee unto by any means. But oh my, they have plans. Those Illuminists and all to take charge and to overrule the Lord, God Almighty. And saying, as it tells us in verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't have to go by their decrees or their laws. I mean, they despise the ways of God. And so they're trying, oh yes, to dismantle the kingdom of God in their way, by their actions, and what they plan to do to take charge and to have that kind of authority. But oh my, how does God respond? Tells us in verse 4, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You think he could do this? There is no way. And he goes on to say in verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. Oh my. Now it's God who is angry. Now it is God's turn to judge this world in righteousness. And oh my, it's not going to be pretty if you're not in the Lord Jesus. If you have not given your lives to the Lord, it's not going to be pretty. He's going to speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Oh, it has boiled over. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Oh, there it is. There is no way that you can stop our God. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, like they were nothing. It's all going to snap at his word, at his decree, at God's word, God's decree. And here is wisdom here. Oh, if you've not yet submitted to the living God, I pray that you will hear my voice right now. You'll hear the words that the psalmist declared here. Verse 10 here, Psalms 2. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, praise the Lord. It's telling us in verse 12 to make your peace with God. Oh, yes, make your peace with Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, praise the Lord, what a mighty God we serve. And as we said, as this message began tonight, oh, praise the Lord, as Proverbs 21, verse 30 tells us, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Oh, praise our God. We serve the mighty God. And there is nothing too hard for our God. And praise the Lord. How wise it is to get right with God. To kiss the Son. Oh, yes. Lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Oh, I pray that you will if you have not submitted your lives to our God. And praise the Lord. Oh, we know that we are very blessed to be in a kingdom that cannot be overthrown. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there is no way that you can fight against Almighty God. That is right. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus, thou most high God that inhabitest eternity. Oh, thou mighty God. Oh, God, I pray that you would talk to our hearts tonight. I pray that you'd cause us to get right with you, Lord, to give heed while we still can. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help us to realize that there is none like unto thee. Oh God, thou art coming again. Oh yes, thou art coming, not as a babe, oh, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, but oh Lord, as King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh God, to rule and reign, and oh yes, to bring down those that would oppose thee. Oh God, move, I pray, in the name of Jesus, let thy spirit fall. Oh God, let hearts be touched. Oh God, let hearts be melted. Oh God, I pray that you would work in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. For surely again, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord.
Amen.
Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, God. Oh, praise our God. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn our chorus books to number 151 and sing Be Still and Know. Number 151. And be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord.